Welcome to GVEC Unplugged, a podcast made by employees for employees. Hear interviews and discussions with coworkers. Stay informed about GVEC news and projects to catch up on the latest news and happenings at the co-op and more. Let's get started.
Hey, GVEC team. Thanks for tuning in to the GVEC Unplugged podcast. You've got Megan Zella here today with new guest co-host, payroll administrator, Emily Gardner. How are you today, Emily?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. So, Emily, I have to say, I am both excited and a little bit nervous for today's episode. What are you feeling?
I'm a little terrified. I think I'm going to have to go watch Disney all night get over all these stories.
I can see that happening too for me, so I'm right there with you. So you guys saw and several replied to the email about haunted and spooky stories to share for this month's podcast. Emily and I did not read these as they were coming in because we wanted to hear them for the first time with you all. Now, Emily, you might not know this, but I love scary movies and stories. I do, like you said, have to balance them out with a Disney movie every once in a while, but I'm always down to see a scary movie. What are your thoughts on all things spooky?
Oh, I can't stand it. I mean, We had a 2-minute conversation and I was scared the rest of the day about it. So I don't like Halloween at all.
So this is going to be perfect.
I like the candy.
Oh, okay.
But I don't like clowns or ghosts or anything paranormal or... just not a Halloween person.
Well, this should be very interesting then. So Emily and I are also joined today by Rachel Rendon, work order coordinator.
Hi.
And Jessica Narada, disbursement specialist.
Hey, guys.
So how are you guys feeling today?
Excited.
Yeah, excited.
Okay.
I love stories.
So I heard from our podcast team that you guys have some really great stories to share with us. So we'll go ahead and jump on into those. Rachel, would you like to go first?
Sure. So there's a little bit of setup for my story. It takes place in Goliad, Texas. I don't know what all y'all know about Goliad, but it's very historical. There was wars fought there. A lot of people have died there. It's known to be very haunted. A lot of friends of mine in high school, they were like, oh, ghost walked in front of me last night from the cemetery. And there's like a crying lady at the river. And it's just, it's crazy down there. I went to high school in Goliad, and after high school worked there for the county, and I was working in the tax office, and we had just moved to the old hospital building. Mm-hmm. They had remodeled it as like an annex, and they did a great job. It was very nice. It didn't look like a hospital anymore, but in our offices, you could kind of still see where the columns and beams were. Just like where old rooms used to be. Mm-hmm. And so starting out, they gave me the tour. They're like, okay, well, where y'all's offices are is the old kind of like long-term care wing. Up here in the front, we have the baby wing. That's where people would give birth and the babies would be in the nursery. Down this hall was like surgery and everything else. So our area was like long-term care. And our cubicles, we had 4 cubicles kind of set up, and they all kind of ended up being in what would have been an old office. Like they were all next to, patient room.
We got you.
They're all next to the windows where the patient's bed would have been. You can still see like the columns and stuff where the walls would have been. That's where they had all the electrical so that we could plug in our computers and stuff. They utilized all of that. So basically we're sitting in old patient rooms.
Yeah.
And so been there for a little while, and we had the radio going all the time. Like it was always on the country station, but that's the only station we could pick up because the walls were really thick.
Right.
And one day it was just getting kind of staticky and stuff. So we turned it off and just unplugged it. Like it was just like, well, we can't hear anything today because whatever. So no radio, but it was really slow. So everyone's on their computers. Everyone's doing their own thing. This was a while back. We didn't have a lot of computer security stuff in place, so like everyone literally was just like googling or whatever, and we could watch like videos, like short videos, like our boss didn't care about that. So I'm sitting there and I kind of hear this kind of static sound, and it's kind of coming from behind me, over my shoulder and to the right, and It's just sad.
Emily already has goosebumps.
I had to quit already.
And but it stopped. And so I was like, maybe somebody tried to plug in the radio, and I'd look, and it was not plugged in. And it happened again. Just like kind of staticky, like becoming a whisper, but still not clear.
Yeah.
And I asked my coworkers, I was like, are y'all watching something? Like, what's going on? And they're like, no, we're like, one of them was on Facebook. I don't remember what the other one was doing. And I was in charge of vehicle registration, so I wasn't really doing anything on the computer specifically. Like, my sound wasn't on. I was just getting up to help customers as they came in, but still pretty slow. There weren't phone calls coming in or anything. So no one was talking. And it just kept happening. But every single time it happened, it became more and more clear. It was like, get more, I don't know if that's coming across in the podcast or not, but more whispery and not staticky. So I was like, okay, seriously, guys, what are y'all doing?
Who is talking?
Who has the radio on? Like, y'all are playing something. And they're just like, no, Rachel, like, you're crazy. Like, what are you talking about? And so then finally I'm sitting there and I hear, hey.
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
Long pause. I'm sick.
Oh.
And I was like, what was that? And I stand up. And I'm like looking around at all the cubicles. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Y'all like playing a joke on me and stuff. And they're like, no, sit down. Like, you're fine. I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, somebody's whispering. Yeah. I don't hear that. And they're like, no, we don't hear anything. And so sit there for a little bit. And it would just be like these kind of quiet spans, like 10, 15 minutes or so. Hey, I'm sick. Mm-mm.
Nope.
Silence again. And it would happen again. And it was very like, it was getting progressively demanding.
But just that one line.
Just the one line. And so like by the end, like middle, early afternoon, it was like, hey, I'm sick.
You stayed there all day?
I did.
She had to work.
But see, that kind of stuff fascinates me. So I was like, whoa, guys, y'all don't hear that. Somebody's telling me they're sick. And everyone was just like, what are you talking about? I was like, seriously, somebody is saying they're sick.
And you're the only one hearing this.
And y'all, I'm a reenactor. I'm going around and I'm telling them, like, they're like right here. And I'm telling all my coworkers, like, you don't hear that. Hey, I'm sick. And it was just this crazy thing. And they're like, you're nuts. I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, somebody take a picture of me. It's right here. It's over my shoulder. Because I watched all like the ghost stories and like all the TV people that would go around to the haunted places. One of them, Ghost Adventures, they even came to the hospital, or I say hospital, it was our county office, but they came there because they had been at La Bahia and the Fort Espiritu Santo, or however you say it. It's like where they did the Battle of Goliad, and technically happened before the Alamo, guys. So whenever they say remember the Alamo, it's really remember Goliad, then remember the Alamo. Just saying.
Quick history piece there.
A lot of people died. They were massacred. It was a big deal. But so they had been there and they were like, well, where else is haunted and stuff? And they said, oh, you should go over to the old county hospital. Its office is now, but you can go in there. And so they came by and were like, can we come over here at night and can we talk to y'all? But because of like county records and stuff, they're like, no, you can't. But I was like, no, let them do it. I want to see. So I had them, I was like, somebody take a picture. Now, mind you, this was like 2000 and I don't even know. I did the math a while back, but it was years ago. Like the first version of the iPhone had just come out. And I was like, I'm not spending that much money on a phone. So all we had was this Sony Ericsson like slider phone, it was like, it was the best phone for like music and stuff. And I think it had like pretty good pixels. Like, they don't even use pixels anymore, by the way. But at the time, I'm showing my age here, but it was decent. I mean, nowadays it would be considered blurry, but it was a decent photo. And so I was like, take my phone, take a picture of me. I'm just going to sit here in my cubicle. And they take the picture and I come out perfectly clear, and things behind me are also clear, like stationary, not moving, but there's like a streak and it's right over my right shoulder.
Okay.
Where I'm hearing the whisper.
Do you still have the picture?
Goosebumps.
No, well, I don't have the Sony Ericsson phone anymore.
Did y'all know it was haunted before?
Well, we'd heard. Okay. So it's a small town. Everything is haunted in Goliad. like every house is haunted.
Yeah.
Every street is haunted. There's a ghost everywhere. But like, so you'd hear nurses or people that worked there, they'd come in all the time and say like, oh, you know, it's haunted, right? Or have you seen any ghosts? And I delivered babies here, or people would come in and be like, I was born here and all that stuff. So when this happened, this particular gentleman hadn't come in yet, but I don't really remember the time frame. It was a while later, like maybe a few weeks, couple of months later, this older man came in and he's like, y'all know this used to be a hospital, right? And so we'd heard this like our entire careers here. Like, yeah, it used to be a hospital. Like, tell us something we don't know, but you know, we're being polite. And right. We're like, oh yeah, we heard that. And he's like, I don't like it here. My uncle died here. And after he was like here for days and he just died. Nobody knew why. Like, he was certain that he was going to die and nobody would listen to him. And he died here. So I don't like coming here. And he was just real like standoffish to the hospital. Like, he was just like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
This place stinks and whatever.
Bad memories, yeah.
He probably used other words, but so that happened. And I was like, what if that was my guy? I don't, yeah. He didn't say a whole lot about the situation. He was just like, I don't like it here. My uncle died here. Nobody would listen to him.
Well, like you said, because if he kept telling them that he was feeling bad or he was going to die or whatever, and then they weren't listening. And so he's trying to tell you.
Because it was like every 15, 20 or so minutes, I'm like, every time a nurse walked by, he's like, hey, listen to me. I'm sick. Y'all aren't listening. So that gave me chills. I was like,
yeah.
Do you want to tell your uncle anything right now? He's here.
Right
here. But the thing was, like, so the next day I heard static. But I didn't hear any words. And then like day after that, it was just kind of back to that mumbly thing. And I was there for 5 years and I don't think I really ever heard it again. But then I also changed cubicles. So I wasn't in his room anymore.
Yeah. Do you think, you know how like they say sometimes like spirits can attach to people? Do you think maybe if his relative came in that day, he left with him?
It's possible.
Maybe that's why you didn't hear it. That's creepy.
I could look it up.
Yeah, that definitely gave me chills quite a few times during that story.
I don't.
You're like in shock over here.
Not kidding. I'd have walked out of the first time and said, see y'all.
And was like, have a good day. Goodbye.
I missed a very important part of that. Both. So the wing that we were in had the stairs to the basement, which was
even better.
The morgue.
Oh.
Where they put the people that died. So... and I would go down there because that's where we kept all of our county, like, old records and stuff. But it's not like Gonzales County where their basement's, like, refurbished and they put down new carpet and stuff. It was still a musty basement. And there was, like, drains in the floor for embalming. Okay. There was, like, a hole, like, cut out of the wall where, and, like, it had all the equipment for the refrigeration of the things.
And Jessica's face.
They had removed the actual things, but like you could see kind of, I guess, whatever they use for that keep it cold nonsense. Yeah. So it was definitely a morgue. And I took my fancy Sony Ericsson down there and would take pictures. I only ever saw like orbs, but they could have been dust. So that's kind of, I don't know. It's
definitely creepy though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I could, I'm really weird about basements and stuff. I don't know that I could have gone down there. Emily's definitely not going down there.
We had, I didn't hear it because apparently it only happens at night. My boss at the time, the tax assessor, she, weird lady. We won't get into that. She, she was there late one day and, like well into midnight doing some quote unquote paperwork. And, she said she was packing up and she thought she heard somebody crying like a baby. And she, like, the front doors, the exit was like near where our front door was. So she walked out the exit and was like looking across the street because there's houses across the street. And she's like, is there a kid out here? What's going on? She went back inside, heard some more crying. And then she's like, okay, well, I'm leaving. So she left. The next day, she was all excited about it because she remembers, she liked attention. She remembered my ghost story. So she's like, oh, well, let me tell you what happened to me. So she was all excited, told us what happened to her about the baby crying. And she's like, it must have been here because right past that exit is the nursery. And so she was all excited, tells us the story. And sure enough, an old nurse comes in a little bit later and is like, well, I used to be a nurse here. And she's telling us the same old story that we got all the time. We're like, oh, okay, great. We're being polite. And just as she's about to leave, she turns and she says, have you heard the baby?
No.
Yeah. And we hadn't told her. We just, you know, listened to her say she was a nurse. We hadn't told her anything.
Yeah.
My boss hadn't been out when she first said that, but she happened to be walking by when she said, did you hear the baby? And my boss was like, oh, I did. And she's like, it only happens around midnight, right? Why? And my boss is like, I did. I was here at midnight doing paperwork I heard the baby cry. So
yeah,
very haunted place.
Uh-uh. I would not have.
I'd have quit.
Wow.
I don't think I would have even started the job had I known it was in a haunted hospital.
Like, you don't know about Gonzalez?
Quit.
Yeah.
We've told her some things.
That was definitely spooky, to say the least. I got chills several times.
Okay. Well,
yeah. Thanks, Rachel. That was definitely a very spooky story. I will be staying away more so from haunted hospitals now. Yeah. So next up, we have Jessica here with us. Jessica, do you want to tell us your spooky story?
Sure. So it was hard for me to decide what story to use for y'all. Oh. I have a lifetime of spooky events and things that happened to me. So this is the most interesting. To me, it's not scary, but when y'all read it, y'all were like, that's the scariest thing I've read since Stephen King.
Oh, great. Perfect.
All right.
Does anybody have a teddy bear?
It's very, very funny because I don't think this one's really scary at all. But we lived in Yoakum until I was 13, and then we moved to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So we stayed with my uncle for a bit until we were able to find a place of our own. And the moment my mom showed me this house, I was just like,
no. In Alabama.
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to say, I'm staying away from Yoakum.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, no. I have a really scary story about Yoakum, but this is not Yoakum.
We'll stick with Alabama for today.
Yeah, that's far away. The moment my mom took me to this house, I was just like, I hate this house. I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And my mom's like, well, it's our house, so you're going to have to like it.
Yeah.
I was like, no, like, I don't even want to go in. And she's like, let me show you your room. All excited. And so it took a little while for what happened to happen. But one day, and it all happens with a microwave.
Mm.
And it continues for years.
Oh, okay.
So one day after arriving home from school, I was watching TV until my parents got home. And I heard a beeping noise. And it was in the kitchen, as if somebody was getting the microwave ready to cook something.
Nope. You know, all I eat's like microwaved food, so I guess I'm going to be starving now.
Starve.
So it started slow at first, and it was like one beep here, another beep a few minutes later. But then it got to the point where the noises were literally excessive. So it was like beep, 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 beep.
Like Morse code.
I was like, is it trying to communicate with you or what is happening right now?
So I decided to get up and inspect the noise, and it was indeed coming from the microwave. So I do have to explain, this microwave was older. Well, yes, it did have buttons that beeped, but it also had a turn dial.
Okay.
By no means did this microwave ever have anything in it that would have words or anything.
Okay, I don't like where this is going.
So it kept going on. Dad pushed a couple of buttons. The noise stopped, went back to the couch, continued watching TV. 20 minutes later, the noise started again. So I got irritated, walked to the microwave, pushed a few buttons, and it didn't stop.
Perfect.
So I decided to unplug the microwave.
Okay.
This time it did stop. So I went back to the couch.
Left it unplugged.
No, I plugged it back
in. Okay. God.
So I sat back down, and the moment my rear end hit the seat of the couch, it started beeping again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really annoyed at this point. I unplugged the microwave immediately and it kept beeping.
Nope. Mm-mm.
And so at that moment, I literally screamed and ran for the front door.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But once I reached the front door, I'm like, where am I going?
Anywhere but there.
It's a microwave. It can't run after me. So I go back to the kitchen and immediately, the beeping was still going.
Still beeping, and you walked back in the kitchen.
Walked back in the kitchen.
Yeah, no.
Still beeping. And I finally just get so annoyed that I'm like, damn it, stop. And it stopped, but it also said hello across the microwave.
No. Uh-uh. All I have is no. That's it. Like I have chills going up and down my body right now. This is not okay.
So, of course, my heart sinks at this moment, too. Uh-huh. And so, again, I run to the front door. And again, I'm like, where the heck am I going to go?
Anywhere just for there. Clarification, this microwave has never said, like, hello. Like, the wording is normally for, like, food done or things like that, right?
Never even said anything. No words ever came across. It just showed numbers. Like,
oh, even I'm telling better.
You, this is in the 90s. There was no hello, your food's done.
No talking microwaves.
Popcorn at that button, like. You know, it was just numbers and a dial for temperature. That's it. So I go back and I looked at the microwave, which is now, because I had unplugged it, it's now blinking like 12:01, because of course it had been a minute. And I was like, hello?
Jessica.
And the word goodbye.
No.
Comes across the microwave. I didn't hear the beeping again that day. Or the next.
This thing is like communicating with you.
But a couple of days later, I came home and my mom was home already because she was working the night shift this week. She looked pale and bewildered. And so I asked if she was okay. And she told me the exact same thing just happened to her.
Oh, so it wasn't just you.
I told her my story. And we started to try to communicate with whoever was communicating to us. And so the incident went on for weeks and new stuff would add to it.
Of course.
We would get annoyed with the beeping and we would say, damn it, stop. And it would stop. So we named the spirit Emmett because obviously his name was not damn it.
Yeah.
So Emmett would spin the fans. He would beep the microwave. He would even mute the commercials for my mom on the TV because she hated them.
So he's kind of helpful, but also super creepy.
And when she wanted the TV unmuted, she wouldn't have to pick up the remote. She could literally just say, Emmett, unmute the TV. So he worked on command. And so he would also let us tell people about him, and he would do his tricks on command.
Why'd y'all ever leave that house?
What? Excuse me? Texas.
One day, years later, this is my senior year to be exact, so we're talking for maybe 5 years later. My mom met me on the front porch and she looked pale and frightened. And so again, I asked, what's wrong? Are you okay? She said, I've had a migraine all day and the phone rang. I was annoyed and I saw that it was an unknown caller and decided to answer it, even though I normally don't answer those. She said, guess who they asked for?
Shut up.
I said, I don't know. Emmett, she said.
Mm-mm. I'm gonna cry, y'all. Oh my gosh.
Yes. So that's my story.
I have no words. I can't believe you lived there that long.
Yes. And that's not, like I said, that's not even the scariest thing that happened.
You have to tell us your scariest one.
Yeah. Rachel says there's more.
She didn't tell me that, so I'd be prepared today to like be shocked and amazed. Uh-huh. But tell them who Emmett is.
So, as I said, I've had different things happen throughout like my entire life. So right. We're talking 36 years of events.
Right.
This house in particular, like I said, I didn't like it. Something that also doesn't help is me and my friends like to play with the Ouija board.
Jessica. Oh.
So, the devil. We didn't help our case any.
No. You're inviting that stuff in.
But as I got closer to my 20s, my mom was looking through photographs, which, you know, back then you had to take pictures with the camera and fill up the roll and then go to get them developed and wait to see your miraculous art pieces. So she was looking for pictures for something. And she started noticing that the closer I got to my senior year of high school and then on through college, my pictures would start to change.
Excuse me.
She should have got a Sony Ericsson.
Yeah. And one picture, I wasn't even looking at the camera and my eyes were glowing red. So it wasn't a flash issue. And multiple other pictures, there would be figures, orbs, white lights, just different things.
Like throughout all these pictures?
Just several. She was like, every single one I grabbed. And then all of a sudden she comes across this picture. And it stopped her dead in her tracks. And she got chills and she had to pray. And
oh, I'm not ready.
So my mom was a big person. Like if I had school pictures and I was trying on outfits, she's like, oh, go pose and I'll take a picture of you. Yeah. Like, so it's just a random picture.
Mom's
of me
in the 90s.
And standing in front of our back door in an outfit. It's like a sweater vest, black pants, and I have socks on. Like I didn't even have shoes on in the picture. But I'm standing in front of our back door, which is an old wooden brown door.
Right.
And our back porch window is beside me. And then our washer and dryer was in the kitchen. And in this picture, which we have lost and cannot find.
Emmett has it.
There are several entities behind me.
Mm.
Now, the more we showed this picture to people, the more entities we saw. Like when I say entities,
I am literally going to cry.
We were up to like 17.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. By the time we lost the picture, we were up to 17.
17 other figures in this picture. Oh.
Just to explain a few, there was an entity in there that looked like the Predator. And he had a number 2 in his forehead. There was another one that was full on skeleton. And he had a number 6 in his forehead. We couldn't ever figure out the meaning of the numbers.
Like the number of people that are in your house.
Or attached to me.
Stop it.
That's freaky. That's what I've been sitting here thinking. Yeah. So like, you believe in this stuff. So do you have spirits?
So she says she's got 36 years of stories. So
in another, I mean, there are just several. But the one that stands in front of them all
is Emmett.
Is a man. It's an old man. You can't really see his face. It's kind of skeletony, ghoulish, like kind of see-through looking. But you can perfectly make out his body.
Right.
So he has like this high-brimmed hat, like a cowboy hat. He has like an old Western jacket with like the frilly tie shirt. So very much like 18th century, probably cowboy type thing. And the moment you look at him, your heart just explodes with warmness.
Okay.
And I told my mom, I was like, do you know who that is? And she was like, I have a feeling, but tell me. I was like, that's Emmett. And she goes, do you see everything behind him? I was like, yeah, I see it. And she was like, you realize he's your protector.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
He wasn't just muting the TV. He was saving Jessica.
Yeah. So when the stuff stopped was right around the end of my senior year where I went into college. And he was busy protecting me from all of these other things.
I was going to say, that makes me think, like, all of the times that he set off the microwave or was doing things that made you get up and move, like what was happening? Like what, if you'd have stayed on the couch, what would have happened?
Oh, now you're giving me chills.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go that dark. It just happens. But like, that's crazy.
So I'll let y'all know one scary one.
Oh God.
Oh, you're not done.
We want the most scary.
This is the most scary.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. This is, it's a tie.
Okay. Oh.
But this is the same house. So this is why I was going to tell this.
So it's related.
Yeah.
Okay.
So one night I was sleeping in my bed. And you know, like that moment where you start.
This is starting off great.
It's not a good place to start.
No.
You know that moment where you start to like roll over, get you're like, you're getting restless and your body wants to change positions. So you're like half asleep and half awake.
I feel like if you say you roll over and you see a face, I'm not going to be able to go home and go to sleep because I sleep on my side.
She's about to leave the room.
Emily's just going to walk out.
I didn't see anything.
Okay.
Way to spoil it, Emily. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I just setting the record straight right now.
But you know the moment where you're half asleep and half awake, so you can hear things, but you're like, I don't really feel like waking up to see what that is. And you go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was in that moment where I was rolling over and I was half asleep and half awake. And I hear this like moaning.
Oh my God.
Like just a weird noise. And so I was like, what is that? But I didn't really care. So I didn't care to roll over and listen to it. But then it got closer and it kept getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt something like hit my bed.
Oh.
And then you could hear it scrape across the, I wish I had something where you could hear it on the podcast, but it was like nails scraping across carpet.
Oh,
and it was coming across my bed.
Mm-mm.
And then you could feel like, you know, when somebody slides their arm under your pillow and then the pillow folded around my head and I was shaken like six times.
Jessica!
Yeah. So then I flew out of the bed and turned the light on and there's nothing there. And I'm like, do I go tell my mom?
Where was Emmett? Where was he at this time? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's one of the scariest things. I have others.
Emily, we gonna have a sleepover tonight or what's happening? Because I am freaking out.
Wow. Is Jessica invited?
No.
No.
Well, the funny thing is Megan knows about one of my, that house we lived in Gonzales. She would listen to my stories all the time.
Oh, yeah. That house was bad.
Yes.
Yeah. That house had like all kinds of things going on in it.
Yes.
She would come in and every day there was a new story. And I'm like, you need to move.
Yeah, we lived there for a year.
Wow.
Yeah, you've experienced some things with the other side, Jessica.
Yes. So I have been told that I'm like a doorway. That I guess like whatever the spiritual world sees, like if it's black and white, I'm like this beaming, shining light. And they're
like drawn to you.
Let's go talk to her.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nope.
Better turn that light off. Emmett, turn the light off.
Emmett, we're done for the day. So now that we are sufficiently scared, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll come back and finish up some stories, maybe add a few things in there. But we'll see you guys shortly. Right, so we are back with our paranormal podcast crew here. So we were kind of talking during our break and just kind of throwing some things around. We're all pumped, minus Emily at this point. Emily's a little scared still, but hey, that's okay. So while we were talking, Jessica, we brought up the question of, have you talked to anybody about this, like a medium or a professional or anything like that?
I haven't. So. Okay. The crazy thing about the picture is I met a friend who knew a priest who had done exorcisms and like could see that other side and know like this person's following you. You have a little child connected to you, like that kind of thing. So she wanted to turn the picture over to him. And she said, hey, is it okay if I make a copy of this picture so I can send it off to him? And I said, yeah, sure. That's fine. So she had lived in her house for years, never felt uncomfortable there, never had an incident, never even a creak in the floor that made her question, what was that? She copied the picture on her printer, and that night, things started happening at her house. She called me the next day, and she was like, I need you to come pick up your picture along with the copy that I made.
Take everything with it.
And we will just have to schedule a meeting with this priest where you get to carry your picture on your person. She said, because I don't want to touch it. And the picture basically got lost after that.
Okay. I would say, Rachel, you said you have a theory, about this picture.
And my first thought was that whatever entities had attached themselves to the picture
Right.
Took the picture with them because they did not want to be exorcised by this priest.
They were like, nope, you're not getting rid of us. We're going to be on our own.
Some Final Destination wind blew them out the window. Something happened. They're like, no, we're going to go.
We're staying
where we're at.
So we have actually gone through every roll of film that my mom has trying to find so that we can.
They're thorough.
Yeah. Because we talk about the picture and people are like, oh, I want to see it. Well, we don't have it.
So you don't even have like the negative of it anymore.
Mm-mm. The ghosts got rid of it too.
They took it. Mm-hmm. They were like, you're not talking about us anymore.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Very.
That's some like next level kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, because like Annabelle, she like tries to, you know, get rid of the priest.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't want to be exorcised. Same thing with the picture. They're like, no, we don't want to be exorcised. Leave us alone. We're gone. Fortunately, she didn't get run off the road by the picture.
This is a good point, yes.
Well, I don't know.
But
have you had any close calls?
I have had some questionable car accidents.
Was it before or after the picture disappeared?
Before. During the time frame of high school and college.
Those entities were not... Yeah, okay. Good thing you had Emmett. So I want to go back to your house, because while we were talking during the break, your house in Gonzales... We remembered that Lauren Kreidler and I actually went to pick something up for you at your house. And we had heard some of your stories at this point, but I don't remember, had it gotten like, it hadn't been a lot of them at that point, had there? Because you just moved, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it had been a lot. I don't think they had gotten to the excessive point, like, where it was at the end.
Yeah. And you were like, we're done.
Like I was telling Rachel, when we first moved into that house, I was cleaning the refrigerator. So I had the sink full of cleaner and I would walk back and forth from the sink to the refrigerator and the door would shut every time I walked away from the refrigerator. To me, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, the floor is unlevel and it keeps going closed.
Right.
It wasn't until Lexi walked in.
Rachel's face right now is priceless.
It wasn't until Lexi walked in and she was...
I remember this story. I don't like it.
She was three. She was three at the time. And when the refrigerator door shut, she just busted out laughing as if she had seen the most hilarious thing on the planet. And so I'm like, hey, Lexi, and I'm like rinsing the washcloth and I go back over there and I wash another shelf and then the door shuts again and she just dies laughing. And about three times, I'm like, what is so funny? And she goes, he keeps shutting the door. And I'm like,
like it's nothing.
I'm sorry. He who?
What are you talking about, sweetheart?
And she goes, the man, the monster. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what monster? She goes, he's down. He's crouched down like this. And she
insert picture of Gollum.
Yeah, as they picture.
Busts out laughing and runs off. And I'm like, okay, thanks for making me poop my pants.
Yeah. Guess we're done with the fridge today.
Yes. But then Arabella would also wake up in the middle of the night. Sweet girl, she's so quiet. She would come in my room and just stare.
Oh no. And
I'm like, you know, you get that crazy feeling like somebody's watching you. And so I roll over and there's literally a face right here. And
kids
so
are creepy.
Literally almost pooped my pants.
Kids are paranormal.
And she's like, somebody's in my room.
Nope.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Somebody's staring at me. I was like, me too. It's you.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I have that attitude.
Somebody is crouched in my laundry basket just staring at me sleeping.
Mm-mm.
And I was like, are you sure it's not just a pile of clothes?
Did you fold your laundry?
Shadow, like buttons look like eyes.
So I do go in there and of course there's nothing there. And she's like, I said, is it still there? And she's like, no. But to this day, she will explain what was staring back at her. And it had this long face with an open agape mouth. And she says that it's relatable to the Scream mask, but looks nothing like the Scream mask. Crazy thing. There was an entity like that in the picture.
I just got chills all over again.
So I don't want to sit next to Jessica anymore.
Yeah.
I shut off the window.
Yeah.
The portal.
Because
I didn't want anything to attach itself to my kids.
Don't get me started on portals.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is we had Elsa, the cat that we had gotten from you, and we had Sophie at the time, and neither of them ever acted
like they saw anything. Yeah.
They say animals are sensitive to and can sense those things when they'll like stare at a wall or they'll start barking for no reason. And they never did that, but they did like to run outside for no reason. And I think the last thing that happened in that house, I was there alone. The kids were staying with my mom, and there was a knock, and it was like on the side of the house because I was in the living room, which was on the side of the house, and it was literally like on the living room wall. And I'm like,
why are they beating on my wall?
And so as I'm walking through the kitchen, there was a knock on the front door. And so I opened the front door and there's nobody there. Girl would not
open the door.
And then I heard it on the garage door, which is the one that y'all entered, I believe. And so
it's like walking around your house.
I opened it, no lie, as I opened the door and it gets close to me, there was a knock. And it was literally right by my head. And there was nothing there.
Horror movie 101, you don't open the doors. Yeah. It's like hurricane. You find the room without windows.
Yes.
Pillows.
You hunker down. Okay, so you talked about how you closed the window to where you didn't see or experience these things anymore because you didn't want it to attach to your kids. How did you do that? Like what?
I basically rededicated my life to God.
Okay.
I prayed a lot. And when things would happen that would normally make me be like, oh, who are you? What do you want?
Yeah.
I would just be like, nope, don't see you, don't care, move on. And I would say a prayer. And so if you don't want to talk to somebody and you don't want to open yourself up, like that's why they say like meditation and stuff. It's like clearing your soul and opening your mind.
Right.
If I were to do that.
You feel like it would invite things
like
in.
There's times where I drive by a cemetery and it is just like being in a crowded room because there's so many things that are just like, I want to talk. I want to, let me talk to you.
Gosh.
Yeah. And so I just kind of ignored it. Yeah. And then eventually it just less and less happened. And the kids don't say, Mom, there's this creepy thing. Or I hear girls giggling or, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point of like, dedicating your life then to God, because if you believe in one side of it, you have to believe in the other because good and evil exist in all planes. And so, that's interesting. Wow. Okay. Well, I think we have time for one more story. And I think, Rachel, you have it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us.
It did not happen to me. So talking to Jessica about our stories a little bit, not going into detail about the ones we were talking about today, but just a little bit of the history and stuff. We were getting philosophical. We were like you said, like, how do these things come to be? Like,
right.
How do you believe in the other side?
Right.
Yeah. No,
you're
told
that it doesn't exist.
Exactly. You're like, okay, you die, you go to heaven. And so we're like, well, what is present? Is it all evil or is some of it good? And we have Emmett protecting her.
Right.
So what was that? Was that some form of like angelic presence that was sent to protect her guardian angel? And he just, I mean, I'm not God. I don't know what angels look like. You know, who knows? So we were getting all into this. We were talking about, I think earlier I brought up Annabelle, like in the picture, like trying to escape the exorcism. So we were talking about how like the real Annabelle was a Raggedy Ann doll. And so we both had them.
Same.
I wasn't ever worried about mine because I'm thinking like, you know, mine are fine. And it was just whatever possessed that particular doll. So I'm not worried about it. And, you know, we were talking about everything. We got on the subject of Cabbage Patch Kids. Mm-hmm. Our parents and like, she touched a Ouija board. No, in my household, no. That was like, we didn't even celebrate Halloween. So like now I let my kids dress up and stuff. Cause I'm like, well, I was deprived as a child. I didn't get to go trick or treating.
Well, and you guys do Comic-Con and stuff too.
Yeah.
So yeah. All
so
of
like,
that, yeah.
And we kind of explained to them like, you know, none of this is real. Like horror movies, like you see the scary stuff, it's all fake.
Right.
Boogeyman's not actually going to get you. Because trust me, all of my kids, they don't say creepy things like somebody's watching me, but they will be in my face in the middle of the night and be like, the boogeyman's in daddy's office. Like, okay, that sounds crazy. But no, we literally have like Halloween and horror movie masks that Abraham collects.
Yeah.
Shout out to Abraham.
what?
so yeah, we just the broad range of everything. We were getting deep. But when we brought up Cabbage Patch Kids, I was like, well, that goes back to like not like just something can attach itself to a toy or a piece of furniture or whatever. I don't think all Cabbage Patches are evil and possessed.
My Franny Linda was not.
See, there you go. You had a best friend Cabbage Patch and she was pleasant.
She was great.
I didn't have any of these growing up.
Well, that's the thing. My mom.
You're so young.
Well, see, my parents, they're very religious, very strict. They didn't grow
Bobby
up that way.
Boucher, it's the devil.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Like, I'm following. So because of this story that I'm about to go into, I didn't have Cabbage Patch dolls.
Okay.
My mom thought all of them were evil. We didn't celebrate Halloween. Like, people would come to our door and we would give them candy, but Hallelujah night, which is the day before Halloween, put on by my church. Okay.
Oh, okay.
That you dress up like biblical characters and you get candy that way. That was the extent of it.
That's interesting.
My sister, this happened to my sister. She was staying with her best friend, spending the night. It was a friend actually from church. Her parents and my parents were like really close and they're spending the night. She has a Cabbage Patch collection. She had like an entire wall of Cabbage Patches. As a child, my sister's like 8 years older than me. So like, I'm like little toddler. All I ever wanted to do when we would go over there is play with the Cabbage Patches until this happened. The Cabbage Patches are no more. So they're spending the night. And there's another thing I wasn't allowed to do because of this. I wasn't allowed to spend the night at people's houses because of this situation. So my sister is there and she hears something talking in the middle of the night. And she sits up and there's a Cabbage Patch doll kind of in the middle of this whole wall of Cabbage Patches. And it's talking. And like there was another, like there was two of them that were kind of like communicating. And then they start telling my sister that she needs to hurt her friend. She needs to get away from her friend. Her friend is bad. Her friend is evil. Like they're kind of encouraging her to do bad things. And they're just talking to each other. And it's just the two Cabbage Patches. She's freaking out.
Cabbage Patches don't talk.
No.
Like
no.
They were all
they're
just like
hard plastic and then stuffy.
And then stuffy bodies. Yeah. Tummy. None of them were like electronic, animatronic kind of things like that. Oh my
they
God.
They move out of their cabbages. They're born out of cabbages and that's it. And she had like a whole wall of them, but none of the other ones.
And these two are talking
they
to
were
her.
Talking. My sister heard them
literally
speaking to her.
Turning their heads.
And they were talking to each other and they were talking to my sister. My sister, because they're saying like bad things about her friend, she's like waking up her friend. She's like, get up. Like, do you see this? Like, what's happening? Her friend sits up. She sees them talking for a little bit and then they stop. And then
this is like Toy Story gone wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is it? Toy Story 3?
Yeah.
They're in the daycare. Like, yeah. You're not, it's just like, I can't watch that one. So yeah, they woke up, freaked out. They got her mom, the friend's mom. They immediately, like the friend's mom called my mom because they were like, we need to pray. This is happening. And like, yeah. And so they got rid of all the Cabbage Patches. They prayed and they were like, you know, this is a thing. But my mom, Rachel can't have Cabbage Patches. I was deprived as a child. Mom, if you listen to this, I love you.
I would not have wanted a Cabbage Patch. Yeah. Like, yeah, if I'd have known that would have happened.
Yeah.
Cabbage Patch wise, I would not have kept mine.
But I mean, I was like 3, 4, 5 when all this happened. Like, I didn't understand what they were doing. I'm like, why are we up in the middle of the night? Why? Like, because she had to wake.
What's happening?
She had to wake up my dad and be like, watch the kids because me and my brothers. And yeah, it was this whole thing that happened. And it wasn't until later whenever, and you know, not older, but I mean, a couple years later when I'm like, oh, I want a Cabbage Patch for my birthday. Mom's like, no. Cabbage Patches are possessed. Yeah. They are evil. We don't have them. Like, it's, you just don't.
I mean, I understand where she's coming from now after hearing that story.
Yeah. I had a Raggedy Ann and Andy, but I don't think she ever heard about Annabelle because she there's no horror movies. Horror movies invite the devil into your home. Like, there's none of that. So, yeah, I do thank her for being that strict in regards to the Ouija board.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was also like, you know. I'm like, what's a Ouija or whatever, however they spell it. And she's just like, no.
What is that thing?
Yeah, there was none of that. So thank God for that.
See, like my parents weren't even strict.
You were just spooked.
I just never even had an interest in any of it.
Funny story about my Ouija board.
Oh, no. Do we want to hear this?
All of her stories are so funny, you guys.
Oh,
so funny.
Funny.
in Alabama. There was something up with that house. It was the perfect scene for a horror movie because it was surrounded by cornfields.
Okay.
And there was a tree in our backyard that was struck by lightning at least once a year. And it still bloomed on the outside, even though it was dead in the middle.
Yeah.
So funny thing about the Ouija board is whenever we moved from Alabama to Texas, my mom was divorcing her husband at the time. So he stayed in the house. Years later, the house burns down. When we were moving our stuff, my cousin's boyfriend found the Ouija board in my closet and was like, what about this gem? And I'm like, I don't know. And then my cousin's like, that is not riding all the way back to Texas with us. Yeah. I can tell you that. And I was like, okay, I'll just put it back up in the closet. The closet did not burn.
I was going to say, is that literally the only place that didn't burn?
Closet in the back porch.
Yeah. No. Mm-mm. Boys and girls, don't play with Ouija boards.
Which now everything's plowed on that piece of property because we did go to Alabama a few years ago. And I drove by the property and there's nothing, like they plowed it all down. It's just a empty
lot.
They do have a gate around it though. I'm like, why'd you do that?
I told her, I was like, I would burn the Ouija board, right?
Yeah.
She said, because I don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
Again, not even allowed to Google it.
You cannot.
She explained, yeah, it will release whatever has presented because itself.
Whatever you contact in the Ouija board is attached to the Ouija board.
Yeah.
So if you burn it, then you then release the spirits that are attached to the Ouija board and then they're clear to roam and attach yourself to whoever, whatever they want.
Bury it in a box carved with crosses. Now, this is just, I don't know if this is real. I haven't looked it up.
Like, Rachel, no, you know a lot about this.
Immediately planned. I was like, if I ever come into contact with one, which I probably will not, but yeah, you bury
She's
it.
She's got it planned.
Engrave some crosses. I'm not even Catholic, but you throw some holy water on that. You bless it. Some anointing oil. That's my religion. Lamb's blood, whatever you got to do. And then you bury
all the
it.
Things.
And, you know, what is the most holiest of trees? I don't know, like a palm tree, because the palm branches. I don't know. Something that, I don't know. You just plant something on it. I don't know. You do something.
Do it all.
You do something. I'm a firm believer in burying evil things.
So I've noticed.
Yeah. Oh, no. I have a doll that I think I'm fine, but just in case. I like to prepare for the worst.
Yeah.
So speaking of burying things, I'm talking about dolls. As a kid, my cousin, this is the only place I could spend the night was my cousin's house aunts and uncle, equally religious. That's the only place. They live out on a ranch, actually near where we live now. And we're, you know, outside. It's amazing that I was never bitten by a snake or scorpion because as a kid, like we had full range of this ranch, playing, climbing trees, doing whatever. Me and my cousin, she had this doll that would talk, had the battery pack and everything, on off switch.
So supposed to talk.
Supposed to talk, yes. Yeah, it was supposed to say things like, I'm hungry, feed me, or whatever, like little creepy but cutesy
things. Okay, y'all, the lights are flickering right now. I just have to point that out. I was sitting here and I'm like, does Emily see it?
I thought I was blinking.
No, but so
let's hope it happens all the time and not just because Jessica's in here right now. But
okay, let's continue.
Trying to ignore it.
Jessica's like, oh god.
I've summoned them.
Sorry, I could not let that keep going on.
Yeah. So.
But so we're on her little jungle gym slide thing. There was a sand pit at the bottom. We're just playing, having a good time with this doll. And it was in the off position, but the batteries were still in. And we put it down the slide. It gets to the bottom. It doesn't really hit anything. It just lands in the sandbox. And it's like, I'm hungry. And my cousin's like, oh, that's so weird. I turned it off. And she like looks at it and it's off. And I was like, I don't know. Take the batteries out. I don't know why we didn't want it to talk. I think we were already a little bit creeped out by it. And so we take the batteries out.
Get to a point.
And we are just continuing to play. And I think we put it in like one of the little baby swings that was still hanging up and starts talking. But now it's saying things like, including mama. It was like, mama, I'm hungry. Like, it was not the exact same phrase. And I can't really put my finger on it. It was like 8 or 9 at the time. But it still continued to talk. And so at that point, I was like, this is bad. This is evil. Like, my mom's voice was in my head, like, burn it, burn it. Yeah. Like, this is prey. So we buried it near actually where my aunt's vegetable garden is now. So, yeah, it's, I don't know what's left of it, but it was talking without batteries. And that was really creepy for us. I was like, no, this is,
wow,
this is evil. Let's go play in a tree. So like we buried it and I think we put some sticks.
Okay. The lights are doing it again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they only do it when you talk about the doll.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. My friend Lissy doll. I don't know. I don't remember what its name is.
All right. Well, thank you to our storytellers for joining us today. And also to my co-host, Emily. Emily, did you have fun?
I don't know that I laughed a whole lot. I'm definitely going to keep all the lights on in my house tonight. So
just cuddle up with Gunner. It'll be fine.
I don't let my dog sleep in the bed with me anymore because he's getting bigger, but tonight is going to be an exception. So
we also received several other stories from some more employees. So we'll be covering those in a bonus episode here shortly. But if you enjoyed listening in to these spooky stories and would like to hear more episodes like this, reply to the HR podcast email to give us your feedback. The same goes if you have ideas of how we can make the podcast more interesting to you or would like to join us on an episode. We want to hear from you. Be sure to subscribe to the GVC Unplugged podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts to be notified when new episodes are released. Take care of each other, GVC team, and stay safe till next time.